Module 2, Introduction. Failing to smile at coworkers or even just a tendency to smirk at a client's unusual request may not seem like much at first glance. But these seemingly innocuous behaviors can be costly in the long run. It's important then to be appraised of the nature of civility, its behavioral indicators, and why its practice is imperative within an organization. In this module, you'll be introduced to the concept of civility and the idea that even a little consideration can go a long, long way. Signs of uncivil behavior, its costs and rewards, as well as the case for promoting civility in the workplace, will also be discussed. What is uncivil behavior? Civility represents the social norms and rules that must be followed in order to positively and productively relate with others. When people hear the word civility, words that come to mind include respect, courtesy, tolerance, consideration, and a rational approach to conflicts. Behaviors that threaten positive and productive relations with other people therefore constitute uncivil behaviors. You can be uncivil without meaning to. For instance, you simply assume that what's acceptable in one social context, say at your old workplace or at your home, is acceptable across all contexts. Or you can be uncivil intentionally. Example, you verbally attack a coworker because you can't be bothered to provide reasonable accommodation. What behaviors can be considered as uncivil? There are many. Below are just a few examples. Failing to acknowledge another person's presence, ignoring other people's greetings and well wishes, going past a coworker without so much as a nod or a greeting. Using abusive language, being verbally abusive or using crude language. Gossiping. It's uncivil behavior to both instigate and spread rumors against another person, regardless of whether the news seems accurate or relevant to the accomplishment of the task at hand. Discounting employee contribution. Discounting means deliberately downplaying or ignoring the importance of another person's statement or work contribution. For instance, some members in a team may tend to cut off a person that they do not like during a brainstorming session. Taking credit or worse, compensation. For work that you did not do is also an example of discounting behavior. Bullying or intimidating coworkers. Threatening violence against coworkers who would report timesheet irregularities to management. Leveraging the power of cliques in order to ostracize particular individuals. Sabotaging individual and company efforts. Intentionally not informing a coworker who is competition for a promotion of the exact time a client will arrive in the building. Discriminating against a particular individual or group. Attacking an individual based on intrinsic characteristics such as race, gender, age, mental ability, and physical appearance. Practicing insensitivity against coworkers' needs. Inability to pay attention to the feelings and needs of others. Example, not giving a grieving coworker time off before demanding workplace attendance. Insensitivity may also come in the form of engaging in activities distracting to coworkers. Example, taking cell phone calls while in the middle of a meeting, not cleaning up the whiteboard as one leaves the training room, and demanding attention from subordinates outside of the prescribed working hours. Practicing poor etiquette in dealing with correspondence, ignoring phone calls and emails, using company email to send private messages, and discussing individuals in mailing lists as if they are not there. It's worth noting, civility goes beyond mere good manners. Civility is about effective self-awareness and effective social awareness. You can't be an effective practitioner of civility until you recognize your place in the general scheme of things, and you develop an appreciation for the unique contribution of all else around. It's a delicate balance between pursuing self-interest and practicing self-control in order for others and the organization to pursue their interests as well. For this reason, effective programs on civility must always be prefaced by a training workshop on attentiveness to self and others. Three reasons why you should be civil. The case against the stronger forms of uncivil behavior, such as bullying and racial discrimination, is easy to build. After all, violence in the workplace can get an employee fired, if not arrested and sent to prison. But how about the softer, yet no less important acts of civility? Are there compelling reasons to give one's boss a warm hello every morning? Are there tangible benefits to making sure that you don't dump your folders in your neighbor's workstation? For the more subtle acts of consideration, the case for engaging in civil behavior seems harder to present, but not impossible. Consider the following three reasons why you should practice civil behavior. Number 1, there's no escaping other people. Cliché as it may sound, no man is an island. You may be a self-starter and a person who takes pride in being able to work with minimal supervision. You may be blessed with innate talent that makes you indispensable in an organization. But you'd still need to rely on suppliers to create a product that will impress both stockholders and consumers alike. You still need the trust of your teammates in order to execute an idea. And whether you admit it or not, the positive regard of those who work with you will do a whole lot for your self-esteem. Unless you learn how to play nice, you'll never be able to make it very far. Or at least, your path towards success will be littered with landmines you could do without. In short, your survival in the modern world, a world where everyone is linked together, probably more so than in the past few decades, depends on civility. Number two, there are many benefits to practicing civil behavior. Civility is not lacking in the WIIFM factor, or the what's in it for me factor. Some of the benefits of civility to an organization or an individual employee are even proven by empirical research. To begin with, civility helps create a positive working environment. Motivation theories support that happy and relaxed workers are productive workers and willing to go the extra mile for their company. On the flip side, disrespect and inconsideration on a job site is highly stressful and can contribute to workers' low morale. Indeed, absenteeism and low employee retention is common in companies where incivility is the norm. You can also expect that time better spent finding workable solutions to problems gets wasted in name-calling, scapegoating, and face-saving. But as importantly, the deliberate practice of civility can help a person grow as an individual. Civility teaches emotional intelligence. A person learns to control anger and frustration until an appropriate time comes to express them. He or she understands that there may be more important things at stake than a petty argument during a boardroom meeting. He or she reaches goals set for self and others. Managing uncivil behaviors also teaches social skills such as conflict management and negotiation, skills which can be applied across many areas of life. Number three, lastly, it's the right thing to do. If anything else, civility is recommended because it's the right thing to do. Most of the world's accepted religion, philosophies, and belief systems advocate consideration for one's fellow man. Indeed, isn't the golden rule, do unto others what you'd like others to do unto you? To quote Richard Boyd, associate professor of government in Georgetown University, to fail to be civil to someone, to treat them harshly, rudely, or condescendingly, is not only to be guilty of bad manners, it also, and more ominously, signals a disdain or contempt for them as moral beings. Violence and ill will against other people, regardless of degree, never brings any positive to a work environment. Indeed, even the current political landscape advocates tolerance and equality, cooperation and mutual support. The world is already past the age where it's each man for his own, where self-interest is pursued at all cost. We can afford to be more polite and above irrational reactions. Dealing with difficult personalities. A huge source of stress at work is the need to adjust to different personalities. Each person is unique, and even when you're dealing with a responsible and emotionally mature coworker, friction is inevitable simply because the other person will never be 100% similar to you. But the stress of interacting with coworkers gets multiplied 100-fold when the other person doesn't just have a different personality, but also a difficult one. What may be considered as a difficult personality? The answer is subjective. A difficult personality for one person need not be a difficult personality for another. But usually, people perceived as difficult are those who manifest inflexible extremes of personality traits. For instance, while being controlling is a desirable trait in a manager, after all, a manager's job is to control what's happening in a workplace, being excessively controlling would just make the people under the manager's care feel stifled and even abused. Recognition of the need to consult coworkers about major company decisions is a good thing. But when an employee consults everyone else on almost everything, to the point that the constant consultation is already dependency in disguise, then the person becomes difficult to work with. When working with a difficult personality, most people's immediate response is an unhelpful one, a response aimed more at relieving personal stress than creating a more workable relationship. For instance, there is a tendency to avoid dominant personality types, lecture the overly dependent, and exact vengeance on the passive-aggressive. The result is an endless cycle of dysfunctional relating that creates more problems than it solves. Civility is one of the best ways to deal with difficult personalities in the workplace. Civility sets the stage for effective communication. In many ways, dealing with difficult personalities is simply a matter of setting and negotiating boundaries. After all, difficult personalities are not bad people, they just have a fixed way of relating and may need feedback from peers in order to adjust. As importantly, civility creates a positive atmosphere which allows people to see beyond the obvious implications of people's behavior. For instance, many supposedly difficult personalities are simply people who have needs that are not being functionally addressed. You may see your coworker as annoying when he or she simply craves attention and recognition. It's also possible that your difficult coworker is merely channeling anger and frustration from their personal life into their workplace. When you engaged in a civil behavior with your coworker, you provide more opportunities for supportive interaction and empathy, which opens the door to fixing your problematic interaction with one another. Costs and rewards. Rewards. While incivility can be perceived as innocuous behaviors, they can significantly affect the company's bottom line. Incivility has a direct impact on company productivity, sales, and customer retention, among others. Civility, on the other hand, can improve all these areas considered as relevant in the running of a successful organization. This section is a mere introduction to the idea that incivility in the workplace has negative consequences, while civility has more to offer than simple, peaceful working conditions. Kindly refer to Module 4, Costs and Rewards, for a more thorough discussion of this topic. Case Study. The following is a case account that can help your participants understand the concepts presented in this module better. Jane Smith is a 33-year-old newly hired provider of administrative support to a manager of a financial consulting firm. While generally competent at the demands of her job, Jane is not skilled in self-presentation, particularly in dressing up and styling hair and makeup appropriate for the formal atmosphere of a consulting firm. Her boss berates her for this, often in full view and hearing of other staff members. The boss calls her ugly, frumpy, and a disgrace to the good reputation of the company. Jane has even heard her boss refer to her as a hag. For instance, the boss would instruct a subordinate to leave the report at the hag's table when done. Jane has made several attempts to improve on her manner of styling and dressing, but the result never meets her boss's satisfaction, mainly because Jane lacks understanding of what is required of her in appearance. The constant reprimand about her looks gave Jane much stress and lowered her self-esteem to the point that she finds ways to avoid entertaining her boss's clients. Jane even interacts little with coworkers. Jane resigned from the job within 7 months of accepting the position. Guide questions. Number 1. Would you consider the behavior of Jane's boss as uncivil? Explain your answer. Number 2. From the case account presented, what are the effects of the boss's behavior on Jane? What do you think is the impact of the situation on the entire company? Number 3. If you were in Jane's position, how would you feel about your boss's actions towards you? Would you have reacted similarly? Why or why not? Number 4. What do you think is the best way to respond to the situation Jane found herself in? What would be needed to improve the situation? In your experience and observation, is Jane's case typical in the workplace? What makes you say so?